don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
I want it. Can't stop, won't stop. Yes,
Carnell.
Love it. Don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
Yes, Dad.
What, cut off that damn TV show watching that ignorant ass shit? Got you messing up your homework, damn mixture show niggas. Making black folks look like damn fools. Talking about I love it. If it was your damn timetables, would you love that? How about loving some long division, nigga? Can't stop, won't stop bringing these damn L's home on your fucking report card. And somebody get the damn phone. Damn, I pay the bills. Can somebody at least answer the phone?
Then I got it. Hello? It's for you.
Hello?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode 14 of the report. Now, before we get started, please be warned that this podcast does contain adult language and content. If you don't want your kids ear raped, get them the hell out of the room when listening to this ratchet shit, all right? But because it's been so long between shows, I'm just going to dive right into this here and get back in the groove of things. Yeah, I'm going to talk about Trayvon Martin and my opinion on the whole social media activism thing. I'm going to talk about the prevalence of underhanded racism and how so many people think they're getting away with that bullshit. We're going to talk about this Justin Combs controversy with his UCLA football scholarship. Hood rats called your man Span Uncle Tom. We'll talk about they trifling asses. Prepaid wireless carrier Cricket is now offering the iPhone, and iPhone owners got a, you know, they pissed about this bullshit right now. And a bunch of other random shit that's been on my mind the last 6 months. And of course, the hip hop and R&B that you come to expect. So let's get right into it, fam. Real talk, all the time, here on the Span Report Podcast.
Luda. Ross. Time is running out, nigga. Let's get it.
Woo!
See, I'm black man chilling with my black man stride. See, black man cruising in my black man ride. Making white man money.
Morning.
Supplying all the fiends. Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm living out the black man's dream. See, I'm black man chilling with my black man stride. See, black man cruising in my black man ride. Making white man money.
Morning.
Supplying all the fiends. Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm living out the black man's dream.
Punish all these niggas. Fucking all these bitches, buying every diamond, every weapon in existence. Terminator X, I'm a public enemy. Born in the ghetto, Ferrari born in Italy. Head of a family like a Don, Sicily. Sex, money, and murder, I'm investing all my energy. Billionaire eventually, hustler of the century. Source cover, man of the year, envy me. One for the money, two for the hoes. Got three bricks headed straight for your nose.
Woo!
Smile for the camera while your whole face froze. Stack up all them bodies on my whole caseload. Middle of December, I will melt your fucking snow. While my price is high, I get you dealt with for the low. Black man's world, white men drugs. No discrimination for my Mexican plug.
See, I'm black man chilling with my black man stride. See, black man cruising in my black man ride. Making white man money.
Morning.
Supplying all the fiends. Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm living out the black man's dream. See, I'm black man chilling with my black man stride. See, black man cruising in my black man ride. Making white man money.
Morning.
Supplying all the fiends. Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm living out the black man's dream.
Check me out. It go one for the money, two for the hoes, three to put that sticky green scent up to my nose. Nigga, roll it with precision and fuck a intervention. I'm the boss, motherfucker. Don't need nobody permission. You could catch me all up in new additions like Michael Pippin's girl. Face up on my lap. Now that's a head on collision. We find out who been snitching and these niggas come up missing. Yeah, that chopper see right through you. It got x-ray vision. Now my culinary arts, hustlers cooking in the kitchen. Get your money, then get out. You better make the right decision, or you might be clanking metal, maybe swimming with the fishes. But I guess it's do or die for these black man riches. So I bought myself a Rover and a Beamer for the missus. Chrome lips all on the whipping. Yeah, that bitch be blowing kisses. Now some niggas may not like me, cause I never flipped a bird. But these niggas gon' respect me, mark my motherfucking words.
See a black man chilling with my black man stride. See black man cruising in my black man ride. Making white man money.
Morning.
Supplying all the fiends. Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm living out the black man's dream. See, I'm black man chilling with my black man stride. See, black man cruising in my black man ride. Making white man money.
Morning.
Supplying all the fiends. Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm living out the black man's dream.
Yeah, man. That wasn't some of the most hedonistic shit ever. Yeah, man. But hey, I've been banging this shit the last couple weeks, man. Waking up at 5:30 in the morning, got your man Span walking around like a zombie. This shit right here kind of gets my ass in the mood for the grind of the day. That was Rick Ross featuring Ludacris with Black Man's Dream off of Ross's Ashes to Ashes album, so you know what they gonna do. Yeah, man, you know, it's good to be back. Now, for some of you who don't already know, over the course of the last year, I've gotten, you know, promoted on my job twice. And with each promotion came added responsibility and time spent learning about, you know, everything involved in what I do. Now, when I first started this podcast, I was just a meter reader for the local gas company here in Detroit. Since then, I've gone from meter reading to underground pipe locating to actually putting that gas main in the ground. And not only is it, you know, it does it take a lot mentally, but physically as well. You know, the job is a bit more intense. But there have been times where I came home from work and I just didn't feel like doing a damn thing, man. Just shower, put on some shorts, and give my body a chance to recuperate. But now that I've gotten used to the amount of work that I do and passed a lot of the tests both mentally and physically, it's not as bad as before. One thing that it has done is taken away my ability to listen to other shows and get a feel for what everybody is talking about right now. And there have been a few times where I wanted to put out an episode and I was working on an episode, but by the time I got a chance to actually put in some serious editing and work to it, I feel like the content was stale and outdated. And I ain't trying to put out no bullshit, man. But for those of you who hit me up on Facebook and Twitter and kept asking me when the next episode was coming out, man, I appreciate y'all to the fullest. You know, it's good to know that people are actually wanting to hear what I think about a lot of shit going on in the world. But anyway, let's get this shit cracking, man. Now, I know it's been some months now since this whole Trayvon Martin thing hit the national scene. And when you listen to the news reports, it seems like a cut and dry case of racism. George Zimmerman's self-appointed neighborhood watchman follows Trayvon Martin for looking suspicious, makes several calls to 911. The 911 operator tells Zimmerman to let the police handle it. This dude ignores that order, then a fight ensues. Trayvon Martin was probably beating the brakes off his ass and he shoots the kid. A kid he would never have had to shoot if he'd have just did what he was told, let the police do their thing. Now, of course, the outrage was in the fact that Zimmerman was able to walk out of the police station that night and wasn't arrested until 44 days after the, you know, after the incident. A luxury that most of us would never be afforded. I mean, benefit of the law and benefit of the doubt in the eyes of the law. We hardly ever get that. But once again, it sparked a nationwide debate about race and racial perceptions here in America, where so many people were deluded into thinking that we live in a post-racial society after the election of Barack Obama. And all around the country, black folks was mad. Oh man, was they mad. You know they was mad when Al Sharpton becomes the spokesman. And see, that's when I become a cynic. I'm cynical about a lot of shit nowadays, and this whole Justice for Trayvon Martin movement had me... It had a lot of people winning, and it for damn sure wasn't Trayvon Martin or his family. Ratings for Al Sharpton's MSNBC show went through the roof during his coverage of the demonstrations, and really his leading of the demonstrations. He went from being someone who was just supposed to be covering the story to being part of the story himself. And yeah, I know Sharpton ain't no damn journalist, but I saw it as him trying to find a way to put his face on this black outrage. But not only that, line his pockets at the same time with the ad revenue being made from the sponsors of his show. That was a red flag for me. Second red flag was how it became fashionable to be down with the Trayvon Martin movement. And I don't know if it was just me or, you know, if my cynicism is just an overdrive the older I get. But it almost seems to me that we have to be told when to be mad about shit. We was told to be mad about Oscar Grant, and then we wasn't mad no more. We were told to be mad about Sean Bell, and then we wasn't mad no more. We was told to be mad about the Gina Six, and then they made everybody look like damn fools, showing off donation money as if they were rappers and popping up at award shows thanking their fans. I mean, to me, it seemed like a bad movie that I'd seen far too many times before. And now this tragedy happens with Trayvon, and once again, the media is telling us how outraged we should be. And the only thing you had to do to be down with the movement? Put on a hoodie, buy some Skittles and some Arizona iced tea, and post on Facebook. You know, I wonder how much money the Mars Company, Hollister, The Gap, American Eagle, the Arizona Beverage Company, how much money they made off of the fervor this tragedy caused. Because they sure as hell was winning. You think any of that money went to the Martin family to help pay legal fees? Nah, I doubt it. But you know what happened next, right? The minute the news media wasn't giving this case as much attention as it was before, slowly but surely, those hoodie pics stopped showing up on Facebook, and niggas was less thirsty for Arizona iced tea. And I swear I was praying that this shit wouldn't happen, man. But I wasn't surprised when it did. Hell, it took no effort to be a part of the movement. You mean all I gotta do is take a picture on Facebook and I'm down for the cause? I'm in. Oh, wait. You want me to draft a resolution about changes that need to be made to the Stand Your Ground law and get people to sign petitions? Ooh, let me call you back. The movement was as fickle as the trending topics on Twitter. Now, some people will argue that the pictures made other people aware about what was going on, and if they reached just one person, they were doing their job. And that may very well be true, but what good is being aware going to do you if you have no plan to do anything about it? I mean, shit, Sarah Palin can see Russia from her house, but that don't make her ass an expert on world affairs any more than wearing a hoodie makes your ass an activist. Now, another thing that kind of bothered me here in Detroit was that we were losing babies left and right here, man. We had a 9-month-old baby boy named Delrick Miller have his life snuffed out by some bum-ass sucker-stroke bitches who fired 40 shots into his house with an AK-47. 9 months old. We had an 11-year-old girl shot and killed when some other fuckstick shot through her front door of her house because a nigga behind the trigger thought that her mother stole a fucking cell phone. We had another baby here in Detroit killed by her own father while this nigga was claiming to have been carjacked and his baby kidnapped. We had 4 women come up missing here in Detroit, their bodies found in the trunk of cars. We had another 2 women killed by 5 more motherfuckers who should have been aborted because one of the girls didn't want to talk to him no more. He shot at her. Then when he tried to pay her off so that she wouldn't testify against him. And when that shit didn't work, he kidnapped her and her friend, shot them both, and buried them in the park. We had all this shit going on right here in Detroit. And no disrespect, but we had to try, you know, we got a rally for Trayvon Martin in downtown Detroit. Was it because Zimmerman appears to be white? Is it that we're desensitized to the fact that if we're going to be killed, it's more than likely going to be someone who looks, you know, like us that's going to do us in? Or is it because having the rally in the name of Trayvon Martin would guarantee some FaceTime on the local news? I mean, I just sat back and observed this whole thing, you know, just watched how it played out. And I'm still observing it now. We should be fucking outraged anytime one of our kids is snuffed out by the hands of another, no matter what color they are. It's no wonder why these movies are never really taken seriously, man, because as those in power do know, this shit too shall pass. But we're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, I'm going to continue this discussion about race, racial perceptions, and how statistics come into play. And later in the show, I'll talk about the Justin Cone scholarship uproar and myself being called an Uncle Tom. Plenty more show to come, so stick around.
Hi, this is Rod and
Karen
of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, and we like to listen to the Span Report podcast.
Because it's about pop culture, music, and random thoughts.
Yeah, and it's also a reality show to boot with that. Because he might be in prison, or he might not. You just have to keep listening to find out.
Yes.
Now, let's go back to the Span Report.
Baby. When are you coming over? Girl, I need it bad. Your body screaming, gotta get closer. Girl, I need to feel you next to me now. Just hurry up and come over. Just tell me what I gotta do to get you here so we can make love. Baby, I'm gonna kiss ya. I'm gonna hold ya. Gently caressing your body. Tonight, I promise, baby, I will never stop. Take you to the last drop until you reach ecstasy. It's whatever you like, and we're gonna do it when we're making love tonight. Ooh, baby. feel so good to be inside your love. It's driving me crazy. Girl, if you keep putting it down like this, I swear we'd mess around and have a baby. The way that your skin feels on mine, need to have it daily. Ooh, nothing in the world compares to when we make love, baby.
Baby, I'm gonna kiss ya, I'm gonna hold ya, gently kiss your body.
Too crazy,
anything goes.
Daddy's on a mission.
Assume the position.
I hope that you're ready, baby, cause I'm about to start the show.
I'm gonna do whatever it takes to make your love come down.
Ooh, just say the word, baby.
Say the word.
Girl, let's just make love.
Baby, I'm gonna kiss ya, I'm gonna hold ya, gently caressing your body.
Yeah, man. Hopefully in the middle of this, you know, this whole racial discussion, we can encourage somebody to get some baby making practice in. That was Joe with Tonight off of his Good, the Bad, and the Sexy album. So you already know what to go do. Yeah, man. But let me get back into this whole racial discussion. Now, to piggyback on the last segment, you know, I'm going to try to talk about the prevalency of underhanded racism, or how racism is underhandedly going on, and how when people are caught on it, they feel as though they have a basis to deny it, as opposed to just acknowledging it for what the shit is. And one of the things that brought this to my attention was a video that I posted on YouTube a couple years ago, actually. But with all this news with Trayvon Martin being all over social media and the mainstream media, you know, that particular video has been getting a lot more attention the last couple months. Now, it's not a video that I produced. It was a video that I reposted that ABC News had did. I think it was one of their What Would You Do segments. And in the video, the scenario was set up to have a car parked in a park in a pretty well-off neighborhood. And they were going to have two sets of kids vandalize this car, three white kids and three black kids. Now, the white kids were, you know, they going to go up first. And they spray painting the car, they're beating the shit out of the car, they're jumping on the car. And all while this is going on, people were just walking right on by as if nothing was out of the ordinary. A couple guys actually confronted those kids, and someone, you know, did call 911 eventually. But then they switched it up, and now it was the black kids vandalizing the car. And sure enough, as soon as people saw it, they were calling the police. People were asking the kids what they were doing and telling them they shouldn't be doing it. They were, for all intents and purposes, they were a bit more attentive to the black kids than they were with the white kids, as the white kids only generated one call to 911 while they were destroying that car. But while the black kids had the police call them 10 times. Now, in fact, in that very same park, there were some black people sleeping in the car at the exact same time that those white kids were beating the shit out of that other car. And even while sleeping, those black people had the police called on them twice. One caller even went so far as to say that they looked like they were getting ready to rob somebody. Now, I put the videos up on thespanreport.com so that you can check them out for yourselves, man. You know, it's you know, just one of those things. But it's not the fact that the black kids having the police called on them bothered me. I mean, hell, they were doing the wrong damn thing. They should have had the police called on them. But the pass that the white kids were getting for doing the exact same thing bothered me. But it didn't bother me as much as it as when I would get alerts from YouTube about a new comment on the video, and to see how much some white folks were just justifying their racism that was starting to piss me off. And one of the things that kept being said over and over again was how blacks are committing crimes at a disproportional rate than that of other races. so that it's only common sense that you would suspect them of doing wrong. And this would, you know, this could possibly have been the very same attitude that got Trayvon Martin killed. Now, a few other comments came in about the black kids being in full thug wear, you know, with the hoodies and the sagging pants, which is kind of funny to me because I see a lot of white skateboarder types wearing similar clothes, but I digress. But let me tackle this whole thing about the use of statistics. 95% of the statistics that people use are bullshit. Yeah, and I just made that shit up just like vast majority of people do. People try to use statistics to justify all types of bullshit or to make them appear like an authority on a certain issue. Now, of course, this being their Span Report and all, and this is just my opinion on it. The only statistics that hold any weight with me, sports statistics. And I'm not talking about proportional or projectional statistics either. I'm talking about the shit that's already in the books. So we know that Michael Jordan once averaged 37 points in a season. That's just a fact. But that doesn't mean that every 6'6", 215-pound black dude is going to walk into the NBA and score 37 points in a season. We know that Tom Brady done won 3 Super Bowls. So can we rightfully assume that all former University of Michigan quarterbacks are going to do the same? Nah, probably not. Just ask Elvis Gerback. We get hit over the head with statistics to justify all sorts of positions. But the one thing that the numbers can never tell us is what were the surrounding issues that got us these numbers to begin with. Just as easily as some white racists can go and look up the FBI crime statistics, the cherry-pick proportional statistics, I can go to that very same website and point out that white folks actually commit more crime in an overall capacity. But that gets us nowhere. Hell, I've been arrested before. Twice. Does that make me a career criminal? Or could there have been other factors that came into play that resulted in me having a damn arrest record? You know, y'all all heard the story. But what I really found so amazing was that, here these races were, looking at a prime example of why blacks are supposedly committing a disproportional amount of crime. The fact that the white kids in that video were given a pass could very well skew those quote-unquote proportional numbers that they like to use to justify labeling all blacks as probable criminals. But they just couldn't see that, or they just refused to acknowledge it. And when this point is brought to their attention, now the blacks are just playing the victim. And I won't even get into the well-publicized cases of just straight-up police misconduct and institutional racism that could have contributed to those stats either, but you all get the idea. Now, another issue that white racists like to bring up is the glorification of the thug image, how supposedly the black community makes heroes out of the criminals and promote criminal behavior. And to some extent, a lot of black folks hold that same sentiment. But let's take a look at this for a second. How many of you have listened to a Ghetto Boys album, an N.W.A. album, or somebody more recently, a Rick Ross album, and thought that these dudes did everything that they rapped about? Now, you contrast that with the code of the streets of not snitching, you think the street dudes would be cool with, you know, with that being put out for national consumption? But when a school like Columbine gets shot up or Virginia Tech, who do we blame? Does Quentin Tarantino get, you know, people buying his DVDs and having them steamrolled in the streets? How many times have we seen Jason Statham, Liam Neeson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, hell, even Jet Li getting called to task about how many people they've killed in movies? Now, we know the movies are fictional, but that same license isn't transferred to the music? Why is that? Is it because of where hip-hop was born, or could it be more simply your ignorance about the culture and the people that partake in it? Would you even admit to your ignorance of it? Probably not. Which is why so many of them hold dear to those damn numbers, because those numbers give them a reason to not have to think about those things. We hear all the time that men lie, women lie, but, you know, numbers don't. Which is bullshit, depending on where those numbers come from. You think the KKK has reliable numbers? You think the new Black Panther Party keeps respectable numbers? Hell no! But more often than not, some asshole who just so happens to be white, because I want to make this clear, I ain't got nothing against white folks. They would use these numbers to underhandedly discriminate against you, to underhandedly compliment you when you don't fit those numbers, and ultimately, if you let them, have the power to make you feel less than who you are because of some bullshit numbers that they got off a website and he can't even verify or calculate. But we're coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, we're going to talk about me being called an Uncle Tom, the Justin Combs scholarship fiasco, and plenty more show to come. So stick around.
give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
I still toast steel, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
Mud B is the name, GK is the click, P-A-T is the city, so if you hate, suck a dick. I'm from the land of the trio, from the home of the horn. When niggas don't wait to see you, then bring it to your yard. We ain't never been fraud, we ain't never been lame. So if you wanna get it crackin', every nigga is game. Bitch, so we can catch a corner, or we can catch a square. Name the place and the time, I'll be waiting right there. See, I give you a bad one and shoot you the five. As soon as you hit your back, my dogs will eat you alive. All we know is survive. We ain't taking no L. So before you play with us, you best to play with yourself. Cause I'm tired of the tough talk, tired of the mean mug. I'm about ready to give these fuck niggas a clean slug. Got back the hammer on the goddamn steel and put a hollow in the middle of his goddamn grill. Fuck it.
Still, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
I still toast steel, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
Talking about the carrots in my watch, diamonds in my chain. Who's baddest on the block? All my status in the game. The records that I've sold, I'm Bobby V going gold. And all them number one chart positions that I hold. The money and the wealth, now I keep it to myself. But I'm always willing to share the firepower on the shelf. I'm shiny star spangling, ding-a-ling dangling. Looted a sheet, smusher broke the record of Wilt Chamberlain. I'm College Park Rangering, Houston Tech's mangering. So get down or lay down and see these middle bangerins. I'm banging in the east, west, south, all over the map. Boy, I do it for myself, my daughter, and all these trap boys. Lack boys, candy and paint, paper we stack, boy. But semi-automatic, so make the click get back, boy. Click. Since I was born, I've been this shit, and money speaks for itself, so I ain't never said shit.
I still toast steel, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
I still toast steel, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
Niggas best to start running, hiding, dodging and ducking, cause them drill niggas coming. Riding, cocking and fucking, bitch, you fucking with a monster, a beast like no other. The hardest nigga living since my motherfucking brother. So duck and cover, tuck and roll, hit the deck. We coming for money and your motherfucking respect. And we ain't taking no checks, money orders or visas. Your life is on the line, so no motherfucking tease us. You gon' need Jesus to hold you and help you. Cause when you fucking with me, bitch, you gon' see helter skelter. That he gon' melt ya, the steel gon' gut ya. Your lame ass leaking on linoleum, fuck ya. Bitch, I stopped giving a damn when Pimp went to the bin. So not everyone's associates and nobody's friends. Just make sure to get my ends and nobody gets hurt before I put somebody's children under motherfucking dirt. Fuck it.
I still toast steel, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
I still toast steel, give a fuck how you feel. We some southern OGs, real recognized drill.
All my hustlers keep quiet and my dealers don't slip. But it speaks for itself, so we ain't gotta say shit.
Okay, this is
Betty Poppy Chulo
and Tot.
Little Tot's video response to some idiot on YouTube, whatever his name is. I don't even remember this dude's name. But he's on fucking YouTube talking about this girl deserves to get punched in her face by a fucking cop. Mind you, a white cop. Wherever the fuck they are, it doesn't matter. It's a white cop, 17-year-old black girl. You Uncle Tom-ass bitch.
Yeah, fucking okay. Scumbag.
And, alright, this is what I don't understand about why this girl deserves to get punched in her face. Okay, yeah, it's clear that, you know, you're not supposed to resist arrest. You're not supposed to fucking, you know, get involved with people getting arrested. That's all fine and dandy if you're a bitch-ass person and you live in a fucking bitch-ass city. That's all great and dandy, but I'm from Boston, so, when you see people getting arrested and being fucking thrown around by cops, nigga, you do shit about it. You don't fucking sit there and let the fucking cop beat your ass.
And they was mad at those people.
It mattered them just sitting around. Like, whoever was sitting around is a bitch-ass nigga, too, because... the way I feel about it, if it was a black man, he would never punched him in the face because he would have got his ass whooped. First of all, I don't give a fuck how big she is. 17-year-olds nowadays, yeah, they are big. They're big motherfuckers. But at the end of the day, it's a 17-year-old girl. Fuck her being 17. You're a fucking cop, nigga. And you're on his...
A trained professional.
A trained professional. And you're on his side. Like, he should have had the girl who he was actually arresting, not even the one he punched in the face... Not even the girl resisting arrest. The one trying to help her friend who was getting slammed the fuck around, her cousin. He should have had her in handcuffs within 60 seconds. So the other girl wouldn't even been able to fucking make contact with him because her friend would have already been in fucking handcuffs. First of all, so that's where your fucking whole, your whole logic is just fucked up. First of all, like, you're fucking dumb.
Somebody, a cop needs to beat your ass and toss you the fuck around. Because and then, you're a scumbag.
And your friends need to watch you get tossed the fuck around if that's how you feel about it. Like, how the fuck are you supposed to act when a fucking big fucking manly cop, and this is just from my own experience because, yeah, I've had similar fucking contacts and encounters with fucking policemen, and you know what? They're dirty bastards. I don't...
Damn. Them hoes is mad, ain't they? Who knew that just applying a little common sense to an issue could spark so much anger? Now... One thing that can be said, I seem to piss off both white folks and black folks sometimes, so I must be doing something right with this shit. I'm almost like an equal opportunity offender. But these little bitches right here, man, oh boy. Now, that was just a snippet of a video response to a video that I made about a situation a couple years ago about a 17-year-old girl who was interfering with an arrest and got punched in the face by an arresting officer. Now, take it from somebody who's been twice arrested and managed not to get punched in the face both times, that there's a protocol that goes with being arrested. And if you black, you better damn well get with the protocol or you too will be getting hit up with a two-piece and a biscuit. Now, these broads in the video, it was clear to me that they were young and really dumb about a whole lot of things, but and maybe it was their limited vocabulary that just gave that shit away. But anyway, they were just... There's just a few of the many black folks that I encounter on YouTube and Facebook and other means of social media that have called me an Uncle Tom simply because I didn't hold the line when it came to blacks being involved in some bullshit. It gets leveled at me so much to the point that I can't do anything but laugh at it. The term means nothing anymore. I mean, because it can't be that I'm scared to tell white folks how I feel about them. I mean, I encounter ignorant white folks all the time, and they're just as much a reason that we should continue to allow abortions in this country just as much as ignorant blacks. I'm all for practicing genocide on ignorant motherfuckers who refuse to even educate themselves on what it is to act with decency, to treat people with respect, to be genuine and a productive person in society. Now, of course, that's a bit extreme and it'll never happen, but I could give a damn about them being white or black. Now, make no mistake, we live in America. You can be just as stupid and ignorant as you want to be here, but because this is still America, I can tell you just how stupid and ignorant your ass is, and I can get less than a fuck about how you feel about it. You would have thought that the mean streets of Boston would have educated these broads at least on these principles, but obviously not. Now, at what point does my being black supposed to mean that I'm supposed to endorse dumb shit? Isn't that what white racists say about us? At what point am I supposed to ditch my principles and my values and suspend my common sense because the people that the discussion is about just happen to be black? If you picked up anything about me over the years, then you know damn well that shit ain't about to happen. And if anything, we should be expecting more out of our people than co-signing on dumb shit just because the person doing the dumb shit looks just like us. I mean, this dumbass went on to say that if it was a black man, that the cop would have been, you know, he would have got his ass kicked. Has she not followed the history of this shit? LA didn't almost burn to the ground almost 20 years ago because Rodney King was whooping some ass. Oscar Grant didn't look like he was in any position to be whooping some ass when he got shot in the back by the police. And here you are, all gung-ho on YouTube with that dry-ass perm and your split-in bandit girlfriend talking shit to me about what you would have done and how you supposedly get down in Boston. Man, miss me with that shit, man. You too would have gotten your ass kicked and talked about how the police were manhandling you and hoping Al Sharpton came to Boston and defend your stupid ass, and the cycle of this madness would have continued. My only hope is that after all the negative feedback that video did receive, you will see that it's not my logic that's fucked up. It's very well yours. We're coming up on the next musical break. When I return, Justin Combs gets people mad with the scholarship that he actually earned. Brian McKnight is really trolling us with these explicit sex songs, man, and plenty more shows, so stick around.
You make me wanna say yeah. treating the stars.
Yeah, man. I like that shit right there. That was Pure with the Stars. Now, I'm not sure what album that comes from. The first time I heard it, I was listening to the Mac Lessons radio show, and the brother Tariq Nasheed started his show with it, and I found it on YouTube. But by all means, go and cop that if you get, you know, if and when you get the chance. I just wish I had more info on the brother. Hopefully his album is hot. But let's get back into some of this pop culture news real quick. Now, Justin Combs, son of, Diddy. Diddy's son. You know, he seems to be a pretty good football player. Good enough, apparently, to earn himself a scholarship to play at UCLA, to play college football. Now, the key word here is earn. Because not like UCLA is just handing football scholarships to just any damn body. Well, apparently folks seem to have an issue with this because of who Justin Combs' father is. Some people feel like he should just give his scholarship back and his father should pay for him to go to school, while his scholarship should go to a more quote-unquote needy student. Which is funny because I didn't know that needy students were the prime recipients of football scholarships. Those scholarships are paid for by corporate sponsors, ticket sales from the football games, and private donors and boosters and shit. None of that money goes to any student because of need. They go to the students that the university can make more motherfucking money off of. The taxpayers ain't paying for none of that shit at all. I mean, think about it. How many of these people were asking Archie Manning to tell his sons to give up their football scholarships at Tennessee and Mississippi? You know, just because of who he was. And yeah, I know Archie Manning didn't have anywhere near the amount of money that Diddy has now, but the same principle applies. I mean, the Mannings weren't exactly broke people. Same thing with Chris Sims. I mean, was he asked to give up his football scholarship to Texas because of who his daddy was? No, his daddy made millions playing for the New York Giants. So, it's just flat out ridiculous to suggest that just because his kid has a mega rich dad that he should have to give his scholarship back that he earned only to continue to live off his father's tip. I mean, I thought we rewarded hard work, especially when it came from someone of a privileged background, because they can always fall back on the family fortune. And it's good to see that this kid is not dependent on that. Justin Combs earning a football scholarship is not preventing any underprivileged kids from going to school, and to suggest otherwise is just downright fucking stupid. But while we're still talking about stupid shit, somebody need to get their cousin to tell that man to sit the fuck down, man. Brian McKnight, what's going on, dude? First he hit us with the pussy song, but now this fool done took it a step further and hit us up with a song about the Hershey Highway. Now, McKnight was doing this song for the jack-off site YouPorn after his pussy song went viral and whatnot. You know, and they liked it so much that they asked him to write a song about anal sex. And I guess since the One Last Cry ain't bringing in all the dough that he used to, he did the shit. And his fans are pissed. They done had that video taken down from YouTube twice off of the YouPorn channel. People just ain't trying to hear this type of shit from him. I guess it's almost like a thing when you were a kid and you thought all your teachers was complete lames till you got older and then you seen them up at the titty bar making it rain on hoes. I don't know, man. First Rockefeller breakup, not this shit. Yeah, man. But you know it's about that time for me to get out of here, right? But before I get out of here, let me remind you guys on how you can get in touch with me here at The Span Report and let your voice be heard. You can call The Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's 313-288-0485. And leave me a voicemail that I'll respond to right here on the show. You can leave me an email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. And I'll read those and respond to those also right here on the show. You can follow me on Twitter. My name there is the same as it is everywhere, Mr. Span. That's MR_Span. So follow me there. I'm on Instagram too with the same name. And I do have a fan page on Facebook as well. Just search for Mr. Span and the page should come up. So like me on Facebook too. And last but not least, you can leave all your comments on the show and check out all the podcasts and all of my Span TV videos right on my website, www.thespanreport.com. Those are all the ways you can get at me. And as a favor to me, if you like my show, go and check out all the other shows that I listen to and tell them Mr. Span sent you. Check out the homie Mr. Gates, a.k.a. the Dark Hater, over at the Haterazzi Radio Show and show that brother some love. Check out Rod and Karen over at the Black Guy Who Tips podcast and get hooked to them like I did. Check out the Chonilla.com podcast with Clove and Shirley and the Mac Lessons Radio Show with Tariq Nasheed and Mr. Moody and his crew over at Mr. Moody's Neighborhood. Check out Big D over at the Regular Cat Radio Show. I mean, it's a lot of them, you know, but they sure as hell have replaced terrestrial radio for me, and they can do the same for you as well. And all of these shows can be listened to on your iPhone or your Android device. And if you're using the Android device, two really good apps to use are Stitcher and Pocket Gas. And you can find each of those shows on both of those apps. But that's all it is to it, man. I'm sorry it took so long to get this motherfucking episode out. Hopefully it won't take as long again. But I had fun, man, talking to you guys. And I can't wait to do it all again. I can't wait to hear from you guys. So until next time, fam. Peace.
Don't you be holding back your love, don't you be holding back. Don't you be holding back your love, don't you be holding back. Cause in the end you're gonna want another round. Another round. You're gonna want another round. Another round. I used to want you and her and her and her and you and her and her. I used to want you and her and her and her. All I want, all I want, all I want.
Yo, shawty got a mean walk, a mean shoe game. A bitch bad at it, any bitch that you name. I'm talking
tell just by the way you push it out of flown that you bad. Something like Dirty Diana, body dope as Sarah on the sex is hard to handle. Your ex couldn't beat it, I hit it like a free throw. And since I lost some weight, you say I got a big ego. It's too strong, you said your drive stick. Well baby, just peel off. Loving how it lasts long, leave the sheets gushy. Fuck you with the mask on, Halloween pussy. Your body shivers and trembles with each and every stroke. Pussy wetter than
don't
ever, enough to sink a boat. In every state, transported in foreign cars to larger states.
So believe me, you know you wanna come on, girl. As long as we can kick it with your homegirl.
A 2-on-1 fast break, that's a slam dunk. I know you want it, I can take you where your man won't.
Yeah.
Chomp Celeste, think Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Yellow Nuva, and pink boy shorts.
Your stomach, baby, you ain't had no freaky shit like this. And I start dripping ice down your spine. I'll make you mine. And now you're telling all your girls I done tow it up. So don't be messy, I won't be as wrong for all of us.